This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Last weekend, police launched Operation Unite, part of a nationwide crackdown on alcohol-fueled abuse and violence. Thousands of extra police officers took part in the operation over the weekend around clubs and pubs that are known to be problem areas for alcohol-related crime. Andrew Scipione is the New South Wales Police Commissioner, and he joins me now. Good morning, Mr. Scipione.
Good morning, Katrina.
Was it a particularly bad weekend for alcohol-related crime?
Probably not. Unfortunately, I wish I could say that it was a bad weekend. In fact, if you think about it, we have been publicising Operation Unite, and we have been saying to people that we're going to be out there in very big numbers and we're going to be dealing with you if you break the law in this area. And yet, even with all of that, we still arrested in New South Wales 737 people. We charged them with a total of over 1,100 offences relating to alcohol-fuelled crime and antisocial behaviour. It would tell me that this is probably more a snapshot of what it's like on most weekends in New South Wales.
And generally, I imagine it would get worse as we head into the silly season as well.
Correct, and that's why certainly here in this state, we commit to the equivalent of a Unite-type operation every weekend. We have to. We have to because we've got to the point where I've been saying for a long time, and the organisation has been enforcing laws around this area, to the point where we've been saying enough is enough. You just can't continue like this.
What's the actual connection between alcohol consumption and street crime? Is it a clear correlation?
Well, it is. There's a range of things. First and foremost, you can recall many, many decades ago, there was always the question about is smoking in some way related to or is connected to cancer? And it was determined clearly, yes, it is. Likewise, the misuse or the abuse of alcohol has a correlation back to violence, which I think now is as strong as, if not stronger than that, the relationship between smoking and cancer. So first and foremost, when you misuse alcohol, you're going to have problems. So from our perspective, we know that this is going to bring us problems, but the statistics tell us from the Bureau of Crime Statistics and Research that about 70% of all police engagements on our streets have alcohol as a factor. That is, the police are dealing with either a victim, an offender, or a witness to a crime where alcohol's been a factor. Now, that may be in a hotel, it may well be on the street, could be in a home, because we go to so many domestic violence-related matters where alcohol is the primary factor.
70% is such a huge statistic. Obviously, it's having a big impact on members of our society, people who are actually being the victims of crime. But also, I would imagine that it would have a big impact on the police. Not so long ago, we spoke to Scott Webber from the Police Association about the impact of alcohol-related crime on police and other emergency services workers. Were police injured over this weekend, and are you concerned about your staff?
Yes, look, they were, they are, and yes, I am. The fact is, over this weekend alone, we had 20 or so police in New South Wales that were injured as a result of people being drunk and getting out of control and wanting to fight or injure the police. Now, I've said for many, many years now, Katrina, police are not punching bags. Mm. Emergency services workers are not punching bags. In fact, if anything, they are there trying to help a lot of these people so that they don't turn one bad night into a lifetime that they will regret. And so when you look at the injuries, if I go back and only last week I had a young constable from Liverpool that came into the office that I've been talking to, Constable Nathan Doyle, who was a victim of a drunk that decided that he was going to assault him. He punched him in the nose and he's broken his nose. Now, young Nathan Doyle is at the point where he's about to undergo facial reconstruction, and that's just to allow him to breathe freely. So there is violence there. It does happen. We won't tolerate it, and we put those people before the courts, and we expect to see strong support from the courts, and we've been getting that by and large. But it's not just police that are affected, Katrina. You need to, and these are some really staggering figures I'm going to tell you. There was a body of research that was conducted by the AERF, which is one of the research foundations looking at the alcohol problem, only released 3 weeks ago. I went to Canberra and launched it. That it tells us that in the last year alone, there was some 10 million Australians that were affected by other people's drinking. 10 million. It told us that of those 10 million, 2 million said that they were seriously affected. That is, that they were certainly impacted by the drinking of others. Now, that can be in many different ways, because it's not just the event that's a problem. It's down the track. It's the downstream effect. When somebody loses their license and can't take the children to school, or somebody loses their job because they're no longer in a position to carry on their employment because they've got a criminal conviction, and they lose a home because they can't pay a mortgage. There are so many effects. And it's costing us now, and again, this is AERF research, it's costing Australia $36 billion per year. $36 billion. Now, they're numbers that no one can hide behind. And more importantly, behind every one of those statistics is a story. And I would suggest that every one of those stories is very, very sad.
And if it's having such a widespread impact, I mean, 2 million people seriously affected, then just cracking down on crime isn't going to be the whole answer, isn't it? We need to make social changes, don't we, to reduce the negative impacts of drinking.
Absolutely right. I've got to say, and we've said this, I'm hoarse, we cannot arrest our way out of this problem. If you were to think that we've just simply got to go on and arrest 730 people on the weekend and then the problem's gone, then that would be misleading in the extreme and naive, I would suggest, to even think about that. The fact is, we can't arrest our way out of this problem. There's got to be more. We've got to see people starting to be more responsible for their own actions and their own drinking behaviours. No one's suggesting you can't go out and have a drink, but everyone is saying that we've had enough when it comes to people that go out, drink so much that they can't stand up, or they drop in the club or in the street, or they fight and assault people. We're all saying that's going too far, and that's got to stop. So this whole culture has got to be turned around by people saying, first and foremost, I'm going to be responsible for my own actions. And what we're seeing at the moment is people actually saying, well, I'm going to outsource my responsibility to the police, to the ambulance, to the medical staff at the hospital. That's got to stop. I think the other thing that has to happen is parents. We need to actually start getting our children younger and educating them to the dangers that are involved, to the risks that will be brought not only to their health, but to their well-being in terms of their future, their employment, all of those things that we know are impacted when you actually start to carry on in this destructive way. And it doesn't have to be when you're 18 and at the hotel. Often, unfortunately, it starts when children are 13, 14, 15. And that's because they're simply not getting the right instruction, or if they are, there are no boundaries that are being enforced by those that are responsible. So mums, dads, parents, grandparents, friends, all of the people that we know have an influence on our life. We need to start actually taking responsibility for what's happening in our children's lives.
Well,
when we start working together, I think you're going to see that this will change. We did it with smoking. There's no reason why it can't happen in this area as well.
Well, it's good to hear at least a sense of hopefulness and something positive, because it is going to have to be a multifaceted approach: underage drinking, education, advertising, and the police crime crackdown. But thank you for reminding us that we all have a role to play.
We do. And the other thing is too, I'm glad that you've said that. This is something that we shouldn't give up on. We've actually got to realise there's a lot at stake here. If we want this country to go on to be the country that we know it is, in terms of being, you know, a wonderful place to live, a great place to call home, then we actually need to hang on to some of the really important things in our lives. And I've got to say, what we don't want to do is see this part of our community giving up on those young people, because these young people are our future, and we've really got to start doing it now. We are potentially at risk of losing a generation of Australia, and I think it's incumbent on us now to actually make sure that we won't let that happen. And so together, I'm sure we can make a really big difference.
Thank you so much, Mr. Scipione, for your time this morning.
That's a pleasure.
Andrew Scipione is the New South Wales Police Commissioner.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.